If you have your Bible or an electronic device, turn to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. And we resume our series this morning. We took a break last week for Father's Day. And a few weeks ago, as we started this series, we talked about Jonah's attempt to run from God. And, you know, a lot of times people look at believers and they go, well, you know, he says he's a follower of Jesus, but he doesn't act like a follower of Jesus. And I want you to know that it's possible to be just that. It is possible for us to be a believer. It is possible for us to be a follower, but not act like a follower. And that was the case of Jonah. Jonah was without mistake a prophet of God. The word of God came to Jonah. Jonah had a relationship with God, but he didn't like the message that God brought to him, and so Jonah decided he was going to make his own way. He was going to take life in his hands, and he was going to run from God. Now, what we need to understand is that when we run from God, there is a ripple effect that takes place. And those ripples are unavoidable. We often think that we can kind of take matters into our own hands, we can defy God, and we can do what we want to do, and there won't be any consequences. There won't be any effect from us doing so, and that couldn't be further from the truth. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. We talked about it in part a couple of weeks ago, and now we're going to talk about entering a runner's world, part two, and what happens when we decide that we're going to run from God. And all throughout this series, we're going to be identifying beneath-the-surface principles. And so the first principle I want you to notice this morning is that running from God never leads to smooth sailing. Running from God never leads to smooth sailing. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1 in verse 4, that now let me go back up to verse 3. Jonah went down to Joppa, and he found a boat going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare, he paid for a ticket to get on the boat, he boarded the ship, and he's headed to Tarshish. And the Bible says that as soon as that ship got out to sea, that the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. Now, oftentimes, we imagine that if we were living a life free of God, free from God, that we would also have a life free from all trouble. Because we tend to look at sometimes God as restricting us and holding us back, and we're not able to fully do what we feel like we need to be doing in our life. And so we think sometimes if I could just break free of all of these restrictions that God has on my life, life would be wonderful. And that's exactly what was in the mind of Jonah. Jonah has had it with God. He's tired of being interrupted by God. He's tired of being told by God how to live his life and what to do. And so his plan is to get as far away from God as he possibly can. Tarshish is the westernmost point of the known world. And that's where Jonah is headed. He's trying to get as far away from God as he possibly can. He wants to enjoy the rest of his life, and he doesn't want God interfering with his life. He's cashed in his 401k early. He's bought a vacation home in the southern part of Spain. He's going to enjoy life. He's going to vacation. He's going to just enjoy his retirement. He's going to do what he wants to do. And that's the way we expect life to be when we go against what God's Word says for us to do. Somehow we think that there is no consequences to disobeying God's word in our life. But you need to understand that if you choose to disobey God's word, if you choose to go against what God's plan is for your life, be prepared for storms you've never encountered before. Be prepared for storms you've never encountered before. The Bible is very graphic here. It calls it a great storm, and it's a violent storm. This was no natural storm that took place. The word great indicates unmatched intensity and scale. This was the biggest storm that they had ever encountered. This was the most intense storm that they had ever encountered. In other words, there was absolutely nothing that they had ever experienced before in their life that could compare to this storm. The men on this ship were seasoned sailors. They were Phoenicians. And so they were seafaring people. They were very much used to navigating the seas. And they had never encountered a storm of this magnitude before. The ship is literally beginning to shatter. The Bible says in verse 4, the ship is breaking up. The word break is the same exact word that was used in Exodus when Moses is coming down from the mount with the Ten Commandments and he throws down the stone tablets and they break, they shatter in pieces. And it's the same word used to describe this ship. In other words, this ship is literally shattering in pieces in this storm. And so, you know, usually when we run from God, we're attempting to escape a situation that we don't want to deal with, right? I mean, when we start disobeying God, we're using every excuse that we can come up with why we are justified in running from God. And sometimes people are trying to run from their marriage because they don't like the situation that they're in. And sometimes people are trying to run from a job that they feel is a lousy job and they're not being appreciated. And then sometimes people are running from financial difficulties. They tried to do the right thing. It didn't work out. They're not getting anywhere. So they figure, hey, let's throw caution to the wind and let's just live the way we want to financially. Sometimes it's from family relationships and tense relationships that we have. And we're trying to escape those relationships. But here's the problem. Running from those types of situations never makes life better. It only makes life worse. I can't tell you how many times I have sat down with men who were getting ready or considering leaving their spouse and their children to go be with somebody else. And I sat down, and I remember specifically sitting down with one man and saying, let me tell you how this is going to end. And I began to describe to him what's going to happen to his wife, to his children, and to his life. You think he listened? No. His life was just so terrible that he had to escape his marriage and his daughter. And guess what happened? Exactly what I described to him. Things didn't get better for him. Things got worse for him. And somehow we think that if we can run from God, if we can escape God's plan for our life, if we can escape what God's word says we should be doing and how we should be living, that we know better than God, that somehow we can figure it out better than God can. And so we're gonna do this, and we dare God to interfere with us. And every time we run from God, every time we run from what the Scripture tells us we should be doing, it always ends in a worse situation. If you think about it, Jonah was on dry land. He was safe when when God came to him and told him to go to Nineveh. But now he's at the mercy of the sea. And if that ship goes down, he goes down with it. He is in a very vulnerable position. He's in a worse position than he was when he started running. And that happens to us every single time. When we start running from God, we end up in a worse position than we did before we started. But here's another consequence to running from God, and that's why we can't expect smooth sailing in our life, is because we can expect those around us to experience pain and loss. Be prepared. If we're going to run from God, we need to be prepared that the people that we say we care about around us are going to experience pain and loss. See, Jonah got on this boat thinking that his argument was between him and God and nobody else. It's nobody else's business what's going on between him and God. And I've literally heard this 1,000 times in my ministry. I've heard people say that it's my life and I can do with it what I want. And you know what I want to say to you this morning? That is a true statement. That is true. It is your life, and you can do with it what you want. But what we don't take into consideration is that our sin never affects just us. Our sin affects the people around us. It is your life, and you can do with it whatever you want. So if you want to run from God, if you want to be disobedient in your life, you can do that. But you need to be prepared to accept the fact that the people around you will be affected by your choices. Just recently, I sat down with a mom and a grandmother who began to tell me about her daughter and all the choices that her daughter has made. And when her daughter started making these choices in her life, she was saying, it's my life, and I can do with it what I want to do with it. And since that time, that daughter has lost all of her financial well-being. She finds herself in a terrible situation, infested by drugs. She's lost one of her children, and one of her other children is living in fear in that type of situation. You need to be prepared that if you choose to do what you want with your life, the people that you say you care about will pay a terrible price. This grandmother, this mother, was in absolute tears, saying, I don't know what else to do. We like to think that sin is a private matter and nobody will be hurt by our disobedience. But not only can you expect misery in your own life, but the people around you will also experience misery in their life. Others paid the price for Jonah's ticket. The Bible says in verse 3, Jonah paid the fare, but he wasn't the only one. There were others who were paying the price as well. The Bible says in verse 5 of chapter 1, they threw cargo, which was in the ship, into the sea. Jonah's rebellion cost the sailors their cargo. Now keep in mind that they're in business to ship cargo back and forth. That cargo is their paycheck. And because Jonah was living in disobedience, their paycheck, their livelihood, ended up at the bottom of the sea. The tool that they depended on to perform their livelihood was breaking up in pieces. everything they know about their life is basically falling apart right in front of their eyes, and it's not their fault. It's somebody else's fault. It's somebody around them, and they're paying the price. And listen to me, if you're a parent or a grandparent, listen to this. If we run from God, it will affect our families. When we choose to run from God, it will affect our children and our grandchildren. There is no escaping the ripple effect when we choose to disobey God. And, you know, I mean, we need to understand that there is no smooth sailing when it comes to running from God. Now, there is another beneath the surface principle that we need to take a look at, and that is that running from God has a numbing effect. Running from God has a numbing effect. In verse 5, the Bible says, "But Jonah had gone below into the hold of the ship, lain down and fallen sound asleep." Now, running numbs us to the needs of others in our life. When you're running from God, you're insensitive to the needs of other people in your life. And here's another effect that comes with running from God, and that is that running from God is exhausting. I mean, it literally is emotionally draining living a life of disobedience. You're not better off by running and disobeying God. You are going to be physically drained, emotionally drained. It's going to be exhausting to try to keep up the effort, because when you're trying to live your life on your own, you are doing it without God's strength. And it's exhausting. And it's mentally draining and emotionally draining. And so Jonah is exhausted, and he falls asleep in the middle of a storm. How can that happen? The ship is breaking up around. This is no normal storm. These guys are scared they're going to die, and Jonah is asleep. The crew needed Jonah in a way that they had never needed someone before, and yet Jonah is unavailable. They're afraid of dying. They're frantically trying to save their life. They're calling out. Everyone is calling out to their own little God. And Jonah is oblivious to what's happening around him. He's asleep. He's unconscious. It doesn't even register with him what's going on. And they wake Jonah up and they ask him to pray to his God. And they have no idea if Jonah is even spiritual. They don't know anything about Jonah. And that leads us, how can you know whether or not you are running from God? Well, one of the symptoms of running from God is spiritual anonymity. Spiritual anonymity is a symptom of running from God. If nobody knows that you're a believer or a follower of Jesus, there's a problem. The reason nobody knows around you is because you're trying to keep the runway clear in case you want to take off running. It's never a good thing when we try to keep secret who we are as a believer in Jesus Christ. And they asked Jonah to pray, and I want, later on, when you get the chance, read through chapter 1, you will never find a place in chapter 1 where Jonah offers to pray. He never prays. He doesn't want to pray. He doesn't want to come face to face with God because he's on the run. And that brings us to something else. Running prevents you from being the person the people around you need you to be. Do you understand that? Parents, be careful. Grandparents, be careful of seeking your own way in life. Because if you're in a situation where you're running from God, your kids are going to reach a point someplace in their life, they're going to need you to be in on praying terms with God And if you're running from God, you can't help them. And that's a sad commentary. These guys need Jonah to call out to God, the living God. And Jonah can't do it. He can't help them. And a parent on the run from God can't help their children. A grandparent on the run from God can't help their grandchildren. They're not on praying terms with God. It's the same way in our job. We encounter people in our life, in our work, that are facing crisis in their lives. And they need us to be on praying terms with God. But if we're running from God, we can't help them. And running from God prevents us from being the person that the people around us need to be. And oftentimes, running numbs us to our own reality. In other words, sometimes we're so numb to what is happening in our life, we don't even see it. We refuse to see it. We don't even realize what's going on. I can promise you today through this message, there's going to be somebody that's going to sit through this message and they're going to say, well, I'm not running from God. I go to church sometimes. I have a prayer life. I say the blessing every now and then. I'm not like that. I mean, I follow Jesus. I just don't tell anybody that I follow Jesus. And sometimes we are blind to our own situation. Do you realize that you can be on the run from God and be hiding from God in plain sight? That's one of the things I've learned from being a police chaplain. I do ride-alongs, and sometimes these guys will go, did you see that? I go, no, what did I miss? And they, one of them explained to me, he said, a lot of times people try to hide in plain sight from us. They try to act like we don't exist. They try to avoid eye contact with us. They're hiding from us in plain sight. And sometimes we do the same thing. We can be sitting in a church building. We can be holding a Bible, but we're running from God. We're not seeking what God wants. We're just trying to blend in. We're hiding in plain sight. Are you numb to your true condition? Because the numbing effect is caused usually by running is gradual, and we don't sense it, and we don't see it. And that's the terrible part about running from God. Sometimes it just numbs you and makes you so insensitive, you don't even realize it's going on. Well, there's another principle I want us to take a look at. That runners often mistake God's mercy for God's punishment. And this is really important. Now, the Bible describes to us these guys that are on the ship. And they're scared for their lives. And the Bible says that they each prayed to their own God. In other words, they had their own little religion worked out. Man-made religion. They had their little idol. And each one of them had a different one. So they had their own little man-made religion going on in their life. They worked out their own little system of righteousness. If I do enough good works, I'll get there. If I say enough good things to people, then I'll get there somehow. When I get to the end, the scales will outweigh and I'll make it. And so they've worked out their own little system, whatever it is. But here's the problem with man-made religion. It's no help in a time of crisis. They're praying to their individual gods, but it's not helping. Ever notice how wonderful life can be without God until we experience a crisis? Ever notice how our society can be so cavalier about God until we have an attack like 9/11? Ever notice how Congress can just seemingly outlaw everything there is about Christianity, but once the towers are hit by three terrorists, and we have all these planes go down and towers go down. Ever knows how Congress ran out down on the steps and began to sing God Bless America? Life is wonderful without God as long as there's no crisis. But let a crisis occur and all of a sudden we need God. And that's the way man-made religion is. Crises reveal what is lacking in our lives. And man-made religion has no answers for facing a crisis. I mean, these guys are living without hope. They're afraid they're going to die. They have a distorted picture of God. They think that they can bargain with God. They can make a deal with God. And that's what people do in their lives. When they're running from God, people attempt to manipulate God to get him to do what they want him to do. See, we don't have any use for God at any other point in our life, but let a crisis occur, and now we want God to do exactly what we want him to do. And did you notice that for all the crying and all the praying that they made to their individual gods, the ship just continued to break up? Nothing worked. They had no relationship with God their entire life. Nothing's going to work now because they're calling out the wrong way. They don't know who God is. They don't even know how to get in touch with him because they've lived their whole life devoid of God. And Jonah can't help them. And here's what I want you to take away from there. God is not angry in this chapter. God is conducting an intervention. We hear about interventions all the time, don't we? There was even a show on one of the cable networks called Intervention. And they showed all these people intervening in somebody's life. And an interventions are for people who don't realize how deep they are in a problem. And let me assure you, Jonah is in deep weeds here. He's trying to escape the very presence of God. And I'd like you to notice a little phrase in verse 4. At the very beginning of verse 4, the Bible says, "The Lord hurled." Do you know what that word means? It means, it carries the idea of throwing at a target. This is not some happenstance. This is not some circumstance that just happened to come up. God hurled this storm directly at Jonah. Jonah was his target. The storm was the ball that he threw, and he is targeting Jonah. This is no accident. And God pursues us even in our disobedience. That's mercy. Do you understand that? That even in our disobedience, God pursues us. I mean, Jonah has thumbed his nose at God. He's gone in the opposite direction that God wanted him to go. He's paid a fare to get on a boat to take him as far away from God as he can possibly get. He lays in the middle of the boat asleep and oblivious to what is happening around him. And when they wake him up, he simply does not care. He refuses to pray to God. And yet God continues to pursue him and show him mercy. God is not punishing Jonah. He is showing mercy on Jonah. And God's mercy, by the way, is our only way back when we become a runner. It's possible that if God had not intervened in this storm, that Jonah might have never gotten back from Tarshish. And when we run from God, it's a one-way trip. unless God intervenes in His mercy. Jonah tried to leave the Lord, but the Lord never left him. We know that because the Bible says that God sent a storm. He hurled a storm. And at the end of the chapter, we see that God prepared a fish. This is no accident. This is the mercy of God. And when you decide that you're going to run from God and disobey His word and disregard His plan for your life, and things begin to happen in your life that are uncomfortable and unpleasant, don't look at it as that God is out to get you. Don't look at it as God is trying to punish me. Understand that God is showing you His mercy. He is preparing a way for you to come back to Him. Only God can get us back to Him. And if you're running from God or thinking about it, remember that when you go on the run, everybody around you that you care about pays the price. Is it possible that you have become numb to your insensitivity to God? Is it possible that you've become numb to your true condition spiritually? Is it possible that you don't even realize how far you've run from God already? But here's the thing. No matter how far we've run from God, His mercy is always available to bring us back to Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer.